Welcome to the Frog Logic Podcast. I'm your host, David Rutherford. And it's not often that you meet people in your life that have a lasting effect, even though you're with them for a short period of time. I mean, think about it. Think of all the different places you've gone, all the different stores you've walked into, the people you've come in contact with, the trips you've made, the desk clerks you've involved with, the people you've worked with, the associates, the people of business you've dealt with, the people you've gone to church with, the people you've met in school. Think about all those hundreds and hundreds of people. Well, I've had the incredible blessing in this life to have met thousands and thousands of people. I've met people from all walks of life all around the world. I've met people that are good. I've met people that are really bad. And I've met just about everybody in between. I've met young people, old people, black people, brown people. I've met old people. I've met sick people. I've met oppressed people. I've met rich people. I've met faithful people. I've met atheists. I've met smart people. I've met dumb people. Man, I've met a lot of people. And I think that's probably what gives me such a wonderful perception of the human condition. And that I've had a lot of experience with meeting people. But there have been very few people that have had the impact on me that my guest today has had. Now, you're going to get into this and you're going to hear me and you're going to hear me talk about the power of this individual and what he's doing in terms of how he is getting out there. And he's going to run the Keys 100-mile ultra marathon. Not only because he's harder than woodpecker lips, not only is he one of the toughest human beings I've ever met, not only is he a former phenomenal Navy SEAL with 20-plus years in the teams, master training specialist, not only is he a proud father of beautiful children and a beautiful wife. But he's more than that. He's a real truth seeker. And it's not often we get to meet those real truth seekers in our life, those people that are not hell-bent on bettering themselves financially, people that are not hell-bent on bettering themselves with whatever pomposity that helps them ascend to the top of whatever perceived hierarchy they're struggling to climb to the top of, to make sure that they're better than other people. That's not who this man is. In fact, it's quite the contrary. This man is rooted in a humility that transcends just about any disgusting ideology that I've ever seen. He is a person that wants to explore the entire boundaries of truth, mostly within himself. And that is why he continues to engage in ultra performance. But this one is a little bit more unique. And the reason why I felt so emphatic about having him on the show, as you all know, my main mission at Frog Logic and Team Frog Logic is to pursue as many answers that stem from the complexities of the human condition as I can. And that's why for the past 30 years, I have been exploring, researching, discovering, and interviewing, experiencing life in as great a detail as possible so I can understand essentially how we function. What enables us to succeed in the most extreme environments imaginable? What causes us to fail in the most simple, most opportunistic environments imaginable? That's what Frog Logic is. That's what the mentality, the type of logic that I'm seeking myself. Because I too am a truth seeker, I think. I could be wrong, but I believe I am. And what's interesting, and you'll hear me describe on this why he was so important and so pivotal, because he's probably, and if you were to backtrack on all the significant influences I had in my life, he's a person that has one of the most pivotal roles in my life. He's the guy that put forth the question, why don't you do what you do best for a living? Which is to inspire human beings as to genuinely search for the motivation within them in order to maximize their true potential, to become the people that they ultimately want to become, whatever version of themselves they believe is attainable. And that's what I focus on. That's what I have focused on, most especially because of this person, this friend, this brother, this incredible human being that I have known for, geez, close to 20 years now, about 20 years, 20, probably 21, 22 years. There's something about Kevin Stark that has been a massive influence in my life. And I think it's because every conversation I ever had with the man, there was a focus on truth and the power of what that has done for him. And most especially through his own a quest to find that truth, man, that imprinted on me in a pretty significant way. So I want you to understand what about this man, and that's why I'm bringing him on, to hear his thoughts, to get him to share with you for one of the, this is the second podcast he's ever done. And he's finally coming out of his shell a little bit in order to share the wisdom that I believe all of you will benefit from immensely. Now, once you listen to Kevin today, please, please do yourself a favor and support Kevin in his quest to raise money for the Station Foundation, right? And the Station Foundation is this wonderful SOF, or Special Operations Forces charity, that is really committed to helping not only SOF members kind of come home and transition into their next life, right? Right? And this is what it says on their homecoming project. Our nation asks more of Special Operations Force than we could ever understand. The impacts of their service stretch beyond the field to the lives of their families. We believe they deserve the same world-class support during re-entry to civilian life that they received in combat. The programs here include the Family Foundation, the Spouse Performance, the Restore, and the Transition Azimuth Check. The other is a part of the program that I first heard about many, many years ago from my friend Nick Hawks, who owns Paleo Treats. It's about the legacy. And this station, and here's what it says, the Legacy Project. The station equips Gold Star children, those who lost a loved one in combat, to flourish in the face of challenges. Gold Star initiatives honor the promise made to our fallen warriors. You are never forgotten. We will take care of your family. Your life serves as a source of strength and love. And their programs include The Crossing, or Leaders in Training, or their Creative Arts Workshop. And this is where they bring in the fallen child, and they pair him with one of his brothers in combat. And they go through these programs with these Gold Star children to help them understand the power of who their parent or their father was and how they passed. Now, the Station Foundation, I believe, is one of the greatest organizations that's out there, and they need your help desperately for the work they're doing. And I would like it if you would help them through my close personal friend and one of the most influential people in my life, Kevin Stark. Now, to support this, all you need to do is text STARK15, that's S-T-A-R-K 15-1-5, to this number, 50155. Text to 50155 these words, Stark, and these numbers, 15, Stark 15, to 50155. Or if you don't want to text it, you can go to a place at secure.qgive. That's qgiv.com/event/THSTAFOU. I know that's a mouthful, but I'll also post it on my YouTube video so you can see it there. Again, that's secure.qgive.com/event/THSTAFOU. And you can donate to Kevin in trying to raise the $10,000 mark they have for this event, which goes to the Station Foundation. Now, so please do yourself a favor, man, and go help Kevin out. Quickly, just want to mention my sponsor, which is MyMedicalImages.com. This is the most ubiquitous platform to store, share, and manage all of yours and your family's medical images. Think about all the mammograms, the CT scans, your dental work, all the X-rays you've taken, all the challenges that you have, all the medical images that you have. Get rid of those old CDs. Throw them out. Now, I can't even believe the technology is still around. And go, but don't throw them out before you've uploaded them onto your free one year medical image account if you type in the promo code FROGLOGIC. That's right. Go to mymedicalimages.com. Check it out. We're essentially the Instagram for your medical images. Think about it. You keep all of the most important images in your life on your hand, in the palm of your hand, your phone. Why not keep the other most important images of your life when you need them and where you need them, and not have to rely on 30-year-old technology and snail mail to get a second opinion if you need it. So head over to mymedicalimages.com. You will get a one-year free subscription. After that, it becomes $29.95 a year for all of you and your family's medical images. Type in Frog Logic, and you will have yourself a free one-year subscription to My Medical Images. I'm telling you, this is revolutionary. It's going to change the way all medical images are shared, and I'm proud to be partners with them. Thank you so much. All right, let's get into this because I'm so excited. I'm so honored. I'm so privileged to have Kevin Stark on with me. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's get it on. Okay, here's the deal, brother. Everybody wants to know this. Everybody always wants to know this, right? What was Rutt like back when he was in the teams? Because nobody's really told those stories. Nobody's been out and come out. And you had the unfortunate luck of getting stuck with, living with me and the lunatic, Mr. Dan Luna himself, living with me in Pacific Beach for about a year and a half or 2 years, whatever it was. What can you say about that tragic experience about living with Rutt? Go ahead. Free fire. Go ahead. Bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, man. The only difference, Dave, is that you were wearing a uniform every once in a while. Like, it's the same. same energy, same spirit, same motivation to put people first and to share your wealth of passion and knowledge for others' improvement. Like, that hasn't changed. Yeah, man, I don't know. I think that's about it, man. You're pretty consistent and always stay true to your values.
Amen. Thank you,
brother.
Different
shirt, different hat, but same well-lit human being.
You're the man. I want everybody to know, okay, because everybody, I always get asked this when I go on shows or whatever. They're like, how the hell do you go from a Navy SEAL to a motivational speaker for kids and adults? And I'm going to tell everybody the story right now. So we were in our house in Pacific Beach, I'd come home one day from an agonizing day of work, as we always did, right? And mostly because of the monotony of things, so to speak. But I remember coming home and we were sitting around. I think we were in your room, or no, we were at the little table we had, that little circular table. And I had decided I was getting out. It was, coming up in June. This was like after Christmas leave. I was back from overseas. And I remember we were sitting around and you looked over at me and you're like, you know, like, hey, Dave, what are you going to do when you get out? And I was like, I have no, I'm going to go home, make $1 million. I have no idea how, but I'm going to go do it. And you were the first person to ever seed this idea in my life. You looked at me and I'll never forget it. And you said, dude, why don't you become one of those motivational speakers? And I remember thinking to myself, like instantaneously that day, I had been in a class, I forget what it was, probably medical class. And so, and I was just on a roll, you know, blank this, bleep it, bleep this, blank this, blank this, blank this. And a junior officer raised her hand. I'm like, what the blank do you want? You know, and they're like, Instructor Rutherford, do you know that you just dropped the F-bomb 16 times in one sentence? And I looked That's at it. You and I, yeah, that was it. I was an off day for me. And I remember looking at you and saying, what motivational speaker can drop the F-bomb 16 times in one sentence and make any money? And you're like, I don't know, probably you, you know? And I got to tell you, Kevin, you know, having now, geez, I think my last tally at how far the Frog Logic message has gone is, I think it's just from internet contacts and get downloads, it's over 50 million people have been exposed to the Frog Logic concepts. And so from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being the one who planted the seed that I would find and discover my true purpose in life through that suggestion. So I love you so much and thank you.
Yeah, brother. That's so funny. Yeah, man, that seed was within you already. And I think it was a natural connection, partly because of, you know, the way you know, your friendship just truly resonated with me at that time. You know, it was tough times for quite a few folks, but you know, you were the one there to like grab me by the gear and pull me up quite a few times. So naturally for me, it was like, hey man, share that magic with other folks. And not only is it a cool thing to share because it helps a lot of people, but I think also because it provides you energy, right? It's invigorating for you, yeah, right? Man. So it's the same thing as medical training with, you know, the teams. You bring that same energy and passion to the kids, you know, minus a few F-bombs. But that, that, you know, that passion is there no matter the venue or the medium. So yeah, man, I'm glad it was, you know, something that you have been able to enjoy. That's fantastic.
Well, thank you, brother. That's as, a nice as a statement that anybody could make about me. And I appreciate you, saying that. It's, you know, one of the, I think the great challenges for us in our life is to find that purpose, you know, as the human condition unfolds within us through each of our challenges and, you know, the magnitude of the roadblock that's in front of us at any given time. You know, I think it's for me and what has always made our friendship so significant was that you were always able to share an absolute truth with me. And I think because of that, I always wanted to share an absolute truth with you. And I think, you know, for so many of us after the indoctrination process of the program sits in, we forget the necessity of that vulnerability, right? We forget, hey man, we're still just men. We're actually boys at the time. We're still just young men trying to figure life out. And so when you can have those deeper level connections, it really diffuses the burden because, I mean, you know, the pressure that is placed upon our shoulders by our own accord, right, to carry the mantle of freedom or whatever context it is, or, you know, it's just not to blank up at work and get someone killed or kill ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a heavy burden in and of itself, but it's really about those connections and those connections back to, in a genuine and honest way. And you really taught me so much about that. I remember always just, you know, being in, you know, on our drives from Pacific, you know, from Coronado back to PB, or just hanging out on the weekends or wherever we'd go and talk. And there was just such, truth in what we would share with each other. And I always just felt like, man, if all our relationships could be like that, what a difference. But I think it really comes from the willingness to expose oneself, not just internally to hardships, but externally, to be able to willingly partake in grand challenges that can reshape who we are, our identities. And you've always been that kind of person. You've always been the person who doesn't shy away from those grand challenges. And I'm so happy that you wanted to come on and share your latest grand challenge, which, again, I have the most profound respect for anybody who's insane enough to run 100 miles and much less to run 100 miles in the South Florida heat, the subtropic heat of the Keys. And so could you please explain, Kevin, you know, why, after recently getting out of, you know, 20 plus years of service in the teams, why getting out now, that running 100-mile race is so important for you?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Great question. Man, it's funny to back up just a little bit. The first time I was introduced to ultramarathons, or this idea of, you know, any running distance greater than a marathon, was actually with you. And we were mountain biking together, I think somewhere in Pine Valley outside of San Diego. And I remember we were actually walking our bikes up this hill because it was so damn steep. And I was just sweating our faces off, like, And I remember we looked off to the side and there was a trail cut out of the trees and there were some people running. And I was like, holy shit, I wonder what these people are doing running out here on the trail. And they were coming down this hill and they had to run around this little post that someone had planted and run back up the hill. And as one of the runners was coming down, I was like, what are you guys doing? Are you in a race? He's like, yeah. I was like, how far are you going? He's like, 50 miles. And it blew my mind. Like, that was, I had never thought of, you know, I thought, oh, the marathons are the culmination of human endeavor, you know, all that kind of, all that kind of stuff. And it blew me away and it immediately triggered something inside me. Cause it was like, hey, this is somebody who's doing something. And I would say somewhat nonchalantly saying, yeah, it's 50 miles. Like, you know, they weren't, you know, doing some kind of a grand martyr exercise, dragging across. And like, you know, it was like, yeah, man, I'm running 50 miles because this is who I am and I'm getting after it and I'm comfortable with it. And the way he said it, it really resonated with me. And the whole rest of that day, I was like, fuck, 50 miles. Like, how do I do that? Like, that's super cool. You know, that's something I just wanted to, like, there's another threshold, right? There's the edge of my experience that I need to experience. And so I can grow and develop. And, you know, so that was a great moment. It was funny that we were together on that. And
it is so funny. I'd forgotten that. I'd totally forgotten that.
Yeah.
And you've run a couple before too, right? You've run a few 50s and 100, right?
I have. I've done a couple of 50s and this 100 will be my fifth. So I would say, like, I've done a couple of them. I mean, beginner experience level here. There's folks that have done obscene amounts of ultra marathons.
Goggins.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Like, folks like that who are like, hey, this is my bread and butter. I love to do this. You know, they're getting after it constantly. So,
yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out the craft, if you will, and just, you know, hey, if I can put one step in front of the other and finish, I'm pretty happy.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
Why now, though? Why? Mm-hmm. It's because it's been a while since your last one, right?
My last one was November of last year, actually.
Okay.
So okay. I've done one semi recently, but you know, doing runs like this, at first it used to be just, hey, I just want to finish so I can take the sense of completion, right? It's like finishing Hell Week and you get your brown shirt. You have that new sense of, hey, I did something tough and meaningful. I was able to experience myself, if you will, outside of all of the built up falsehoods that we have.
Oh, beautiful.
Right.
Yes.
So you're in a very primal core state. And it's just a great way to kind of shed away what's truly not important and just be in the moment and truly focused on literally just making it, you know, to the next aid station, which might be a mile away or just to the top of the hill. You know, so much of my time is spent, you know, thinking about the future, like what am I going to do job wise? What am I going to do life wise? Ultras are a great way for me and probably a really hard and expensive way, because most people are like, oh, just be mindful and take a few minutes and be present every day. Right. But for me, it's just a great way to, you know, do something challenging, do something fun. But then also when I'm running, there's times along the course when I'm like, wow, I can't believe I let this bother me, or I can't believe this is a thing in my life. Like, this does not matter. You really cut to the core of what's important. And inevitably it's family and friends and just doing something typically in the service for others.
That's let's talk, you know, I remember, you know, and I've talked a little bit about before, I've kind of helped two people in ultras. One, our friend Nick Hawks, I helped mm-hmm. run the Leadville, you know, paced him for about 30 on that, which I thought my knees were going to explode. Right. But like seeing the change of him, you know, over the course and really watching him move into that space, like you suggested, that man, there's a pause on the long-term potential, and there's a refocus on the permanence of the moment. Right. And he said he was able to really expose so many, you know, more intimate layers of himself to himself, as well as his necessity for help with all your crew, right? As you know, you do the first out and then you come back over and you're at 60 and it's a whole new world because you just, you know, ascended to Overhope Pass and all that shit. But then, you know, at the end, that elation that's on your face and that transformation. And like you said, man, I liked how you used the reference. You finish Hell Week and the physical feeling of putting on the brown shirt for the first time. And it's like, you're actually applying a new real skin. That's a mm-hmm. real earned skin. And so when you're out there, are you mindful of the transitions as they're happening in the run?
I would say sometimes yes, and other times you're literally just, man, I feel like I'm just plodding along. This kind of sucks. You know, it's not some like ethereal spiritual quest the whole way. You know, sometimes it's like, man, I'm just pounding the pavement right now. I just want to make it to the next aid station. But overall, as a cumulative effect, it is a very transcendent experience. Because you are, and it's funny how so often we seek things that are outside and we reach and we grasp, when the most powerful transcendent experiences are from within, right? It's like journeying to the center and really getting to know who you are. And for me, I enjoy doing it when I'm doing something physical like that and enduring. You know, I'm having the receptors from the sore legs and maybe like my feet hurt or it's hot outside, you know, like, so I'm getting these inputs that are immediately relevant to my life right now. Like you said, being anchored in the now. So that to me is a rewarding experience, even though sometimes I'm like, F this, I'm never doing it again. but it's, for me, I enjoy that. And to your point, you know, the journey that we take, you know, in this transcendent experience, whether it's from death or, you know, birth to death, whether it's an ultra marathon, whether it's a conversation, whether it's 24 hours, anything, I find, or I have found that it's far more rewarding and feasible and possible when you have people with you. You know, when
Amen.
Like our experience, right? Back then, like I've told you before, like you saved my life, you know, in a very meaningful and powerful way. And like that, the ability to understand the value of friendship and teammates, like you have to experience it in your time of need to truly value that. And in order to do that, something you touched on earlier is you got to be vulnerable, right? You got to say, oh shit, I don't know how this is going to land, but here I am. And then when the other person right away, you know, says, well, I've got you 100%. Like you're like, wow, now I can go through life.
Amen.
So it's a long-winded way of saying, like, I really enjoy doing them just for my own self treatment,
yeah,
if you will.
No, that makes complete sense. You know, for, I think we, as we were indoctrinated into significant, and for the listeners, you know, Kevin was also a long, long Buds instructor and really has seen and understands the root cause of transformation, right? How human beings, when they're put into a crucible, what are the likely scenarios that dismantle the self-imposed limitations that we have on our, right? That we grow up with, that we come from, whether it's culturally, subculturally, whether it's the influence from our national influences of how we're raised, but, you know, primarily from, you know, the unit of our families and those inputs, right? But when you get into these crucible programs and you're pushed through the eye of the needle per se, right? That proverbial eye of the needle that where, you know, your prophecy becomes completely dependent upon your willingness to accept the suffering at a high degree too. It's not, you know, I mean, you know, it cracks me up when everybody's like, oh, we've got our program is as hard as the Navy SEALs training program. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure it is. Okay, good. But, you know, yet it takes, you know, it creates a different outcome. And so I think when you're indoctrinated into the mindset that's how we reshape ourselves, right? We're broken down to almost the most simplified common denominator, right? What is our will? Where is our motivation to continue come from? Mm-hmm. And so the question I always like to ask to elite performers is, you know, when you're at that spot, whether it's you going through Buds or it's you on this race coming up or it's you after the hurricane or the storms you guys went through recently, you know, what is the thing at that moment where you're looking at yourself on who you are and what says, I'm going to go another step. I'm going to take one more step. I'm going to keep going and I'm not going to stop because this is who I am. Do you have, are they moments like that? Are they vivid or is it just a component that's who you are over the long term?
Great question. The beauty of it is this human experience is because we're all humans. We all share the abilities to do these amazing things. And I'm not saying I'm amazing, but I'm saying like everybody has it within us to transcend, right?
You believe that? You firmly believe everybody has it.
That's why everybody, and that's why like this gift doesn't belong to the Navy SEALs or to this, that, like that's the biggest,
beautiful.
You know, there is no Navy SEAL seekers to performance. Like, no, these are human performance qualities that belong to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you're successful. It belongs to everybody, right? Maybe I frame as a SEAL for my experiences, but I can translate this to you because it belongs to everybody. If you can suffer and if you can be stressed out, then you can also overcome that, right?
Yes.
It belongs to everybody, which I firmly believe in. But to answer your question, number one, I have this unfailing belief that, you know, this great quote, right? The human spirit is indomitable. Like we have it within us always, always, to find meaning, you know, Viktor Frankl, find meaning in suffering. You can find meaning in anything. You ascribe meaning to something, which kind of goes to like the finding purpose thing. And then also in a very, very simple terms, like all that ethereal, like prophecy type thought doesn't really help much when you're just getting shit on and it's really hard. When that's happening, simple is best, right?
It's when your third eye is yeah. bleeding from exhaustion, right?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. No, sometimes all the quotes and the, hey, I'm sitting in my office writing a manuscript for human transcendence. Like it all goes away. And all it comes down to is, man, just move another foot, like just make some kind of progress, because there is a switchback somewhere. Like there's going to be an opportunity, like somewhere down the line, if you keep going, there will be rest. There will be someone to pick you up. There will be something, like just see what's around the corner. And like that fundamental belief will carry me forward anyways. It's like, take another step, just keep moving. Like that's when the wishy-washy stuff breaks away and it's like, just fucking take a step. Amen. And like there was, and another one in crawl, and it's not pretty, but you find out who you are. And you know, there's this great little quote, like your edge is the beginning. Your edge is only the beginning. So get to your edge and just crawl past it. Even if it's not pretty, like you will be able to learn like a lifelong of human will and capture that in your own moment, because you've just transcended yourself, right? So that's in a long-winded way of saying, like, I have an unfailing belief or ability to overcome. And then when the shit really hurts, I just try to move the needle just a little bit, like just go just a little bit and you'll find something, or someone will find you and scrape you off the road.
Right, exactly, hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, you know, all the people that I've talked to that had you as an instructor were just, you know, spoke volumes about who you were and the inspiration that you brought to them. And was it when everybody, you know, says, all right, you know, how do we get, how does the individual find the motivation, right? Mm-hmm. How does the individual, so as you're looking and you're looking across, you know, the spectrum of different human beings, all different backgrounds, all different stories, all different triggers, all different capabilities, you know, and I'm sure, you know, you guys have discussed this ad nauseum within, you know, how you figured out, but on the individual level, do you have certain components that you specifically as an instructor or a person that teaches people how to find that ability to take the extra step? What are you looking for in these people? What are the kind of the things that over your experience have you been able to define as some core character traits that regardless of age, size, you know, whatever, that these things are the staples within that human condition to be able to not only endure the suffering, but to have the wherewithal to make it over the horizon to see what that relief is going to be?
Yeah, great question, Dave. Two things come to mind to me is humility and mental toughness. Humility is super important because humility allows you to look at an obstacle, an endeavor, a goal, or another version of yourself in the future that you wish to attain, and it allows you to understand that you're not there yet. And that knowledge and that awareness that you're not there yet gives you the opportunity to say, okay, that means that I have to get there. So that implies that I need to do something from where I am to get to somewhere else, right? And humility allows you to see that. It allows you to take on advice. It allows you to listen. It allows you to, on that path, fall down and get back up because you know you're on a path, right? And sometimes the forward progress is falling down, right? Which is okay too. I mean, you learn a lot. And I would say the next one is mental toughness, right? So humility gives you the opportunity to see the gap to where you want to go, And mental toughness gives you that fortitude and that persistence to weather the storms along the way to get you to fill that gap. And I think at an early age, it's important for us to strive for things and not get there, and to be okay with that, and to say, okay, well, how am I gonna, with humility, look at myself and my performance and say, what can I do next time to get there? And that creates that learning. And that also reaffirms the belief that if I'm not where I want to be now, I can still get there because I can learn, right? The whole growth mindset thing that we hear about. Mm-hmm. I try to teach that in my kids, you know, hey, like my daughter's learning to read right now. I can't read it. Like, she's not allowed to say I can't. If you say I can't, you're going to timeout. She knows that. And she says, I can't do it yet, or I might need some help. You know, that constant affirmation that you can do it. You just might be on the path to learning how to do it. And there's been, you know, as an instructor, right, I would tell all the students on day one, typically a class of 150 or so, like, everybody here, you can all make it through training. Physically, every one of you can make it, like, without a doubt. And I haven't cracked the code, and I probably never will. And that's the beautiful part of BUDS, is it's supposed to be a mystery, right? You don't want to take this 900 question survey like you're going to make it and you're not. Like, I don't believe in that at all. There has to be some degree of willpower. And the beautiful thing is, there's guys that don't make it and they come back and make it. So that same person had the same right qualities about them, but they decided to make it the second time or third time, whatever, right? So,
well, the great Tom Shea, right? 5 hell weeks.
Yeah.
I just don't even know what, I mean, his fifth one was in 207 with, you know, he was a swim buddies with Kyle Kroberger. And I remember him making it through, thinking to myself, like, it didn't hit me until he made it. And then you start to ponder it. And how does any one human being decide that there are no amount of hell weeks that will stop him, mm-hmm. you know, unless the Navy says, you're done. We don't want you. You can't do it. But they, obviously there was something about him, you know, and I think 3 were injuries, and the other 2, you know, 1 he made. And then the first one, it was something, I think he quit in the first one, or, but you know, that mindset, like you said, is, the build of the failure is so critical, and here's when you made that quote about indomitable, right? And when you think about that, what are the things that really, really give us that intestinal fortitude, that mental toughness? And it's the failure, right? The rejection of the effort. And then all of a sudden, when you're, you know, when you're sprawled out and you're in that agony, in that misery, what gets you up again? Mm-hmm. And that's because everybody was like, all right, what is mental toughness? What is, you know, give me the A through Z on what mental toughness is. Okay, this is it. This is it. Okay, I'm going to go out and do it. Woohoo! And, you know, and boom, you hit it. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, God, that hurts a lot. I can't go another step. And so you quit, and then you come back, and you either reload and go again, or you don't, and you go a different route to finding whatever you're supposed to find. And I think that's what's so amazing, you know, about the how you tie humility and the mental toughness. Because I believe you're right. I believe one of the most significant components of performance and elite performance is humility. You know, knowing that you might not be good enough, knowing that you haven't prepared enough, knowing that there are people that are better than you all around you, but still you're going to get in there and you're going to keep doing your best and keep doing your best and whatever that best is. And hopefully, if you have the right influences, you can dial that knob, you know, dial that, what do you call this thing? Knob. Into a place where you're fine tuning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that people recognize, like, there's a distinction between humility and confidence, right? You can be confident and humble. Like, you can believe, like, I have an indomitable human spirit within me. Like, I'm going to figure this shit out, but I don't really know how. And I'm going to ask people who've been there before me, yeah, right? And if I get a setback, I'm going to take it in stride and see the learning lesson from it and keep moving. And I'm not going to pretend I know when I don't. You know what I mean? So humility, yeah, you know, and confidence, sometimes people mistake humility for weakness. It's actually quite the opposite. You know, think of any leader or teammate you've worked with, right? The competent jerk. Nobody likes the competent jerk, you know. But if you got someone who's humble, you can train them and they can learn. And, you know, they are the ones who will double check themselves and double check you before you jump out of a plane, right? Because there's that, hey, I'm not above myself. We all make mistakes. Let me double check something. You know, who do you want checking your parachute before you jump, right?
Yeah. Amen to that. Absolutely. All right. So we're now you're closing in and let's get to the nuts and bolts of this experience, this, you know, this evolution of Kevin through the 100-mile race from Key West to Key Largo. Is that right?
Other way. Key Largo to Key West.
Key Largo to Key West. And this is coming up in 2 weeks, right?
That's correct. May 15th. Yep.
May 15th. Okay. Now, why did you choose this race? And then what has happened as a result of choosing the race and saying, running the race just for myself isn't enough. I'm actually going to do something really cool and raise some money. So walk us through that evolution.
Yeah. I have the Keys 100. I've been wanting to do this race for a couple years now. And finally had an opportunity to do it this year with timing, and it lined up. It's quite different from typical ultras, which are usually done on trails, you know, running through the mountains and all that good stuff. You know, this one's concrete, pounding on the pavement in the heat. So it's a total different animal, which I haven't experienced. So I'm excited to give it a shot. So excited about the race. And looking forward to it, you know. And, you know, I went to the Station Foundation, which, you know, is an amazing veterans and veteran family support organization. And they gave a lot to me in ways of how do I think about my relationships with my family and my friends, and how do I prioritize those relationships? How do I communicate? How do I understand myself better? You know, a lot of basic human to human contact training of how am I just basically going to be a better person to myself and a better person to my wife and kids, because ultimately they matter the most. And
can you tell everybody a little bit about the Station Foundation and just how you found them and why you went to them?
Sure. So the Station is a nonprofit organization, and they're located in outside of Bozeman, Montana. And, you know, what they do is they provide programming for special operations members, veterans, and also their families, and also for Gold Star children. So children of service members who've passed away, they take them up there and provide like amazing opportunities for connection and hope, and a very inspiring group of people who work there and provide services there. And, you know, my family and myself, we've benefited from it. And, you know, I thought, you know, 100 miles is kind of a selfish endeavor. You know, I'm taking family time away, you know, the amount of training that goes into it beforehand, you know, yeah. I do my best to wake up early and make sure I come home, you know, before the kids have, you know, really unleashed the hounds on the family. But I don't always get to do that. So like, hey, well, what can I do to give back to what these amazing people have done for me? And I figured, hey, let's do a fundraiser for the race, for the Station Foundation. And I reached out to them, and you know, they were super supportive and helped me, you know, set everything up. And, you know, I wanted to raise funds for, you know, spouses programming and also programming that I went through. So that's been great.
Wow. And so when you, like, I first heard of the Station Foundation when our friend Nick, you know, went through it and was there with another teammate of ours, Jason Lewis, who passed in Iraq. I think Nick went through with one of his children. And that's how it first came on my radar. And this is like 5-6 years ago, I think it was. And they started in 2012, if I'm not mistaken, was kind of their first course, I'm pretty sure. And I remember him like talking about, this is an opportunity for Gold Star kids to go learn skills that are indicative of, you know, the operational experience, those core strategic things like land navigation or communication skills or whatever it might be. Being, you know, the wilderness has a wonderful sharpening, you know, component to it, right? If you're not prepared for the being out in the outdoors, it's going to chew you up and spit you out. And so what a great way to, you know, get to know a person, a child who's lost the father and your friend, and then to step in as that father figure in some capacity to expose them to a mindset that can pull them out of the trauma of losing a child. And, you know, and I'm experiencing that myself. You know, my fiance, Jonna, you know, she's a widow. She lost her husband 9 years ago. And so her two children, you know, lost their father. And so now I'm stepping into that role, and it's a very difficult thing to do. And I just commend them at the magnitude and this of the simplicity, right? The importance of the simplicity of the program. But as I now know and look at their programs now and how they've evolved, especially as they've helped you, there's a massive need, obviously. And, you know, Dr. Chris Free and I have really been pounding the pavement about exposing people to what operator syndrome is, right? And the fact that, you know, it's 14 different medical issues that people who have prolonged exposure to hypervigilance, hyperstress, combat, whatever you want to call it, training, you know, it changes you. It reshapes your identity. And so I believe that programs like the Station Foundation, which can, you know, take all of, like we talked about, the skins, the new skins you put on, right? You put on all these skins, but before you know it, you're weighted down in this way where you don't really know who you are at your core. And so to be able to go to a place like this in connection with the outdoors, and then also the quality of instructors, and, you know, you look at their people on their board and, you know, and the people and their partners that they're affiliated with. I mean, this is a powerful organization that has a lot of amazing past performance that it works. And here you are on there. What I want to know is, you know, had you gone to any other programs first? And if so, how did they differ? And what really makes the Station Foundation so unique in your mind?
Oh, great question. I was fortunate enough to go to another transition organization that helps folks. They go from, you know, I'm wearing a military hat. How do I go to a different hat? And how do I, you know, importantly translate the things that I've learned, the value that I bring, you know, the values that I uphold for myself, how do I translate that into the civilian world so that I can be another productive member of a different team? So that's extremely valuable, more of the technical aspect, right? Resumes, interviews, you know, looking at your own values. The station is more of, I would say, like a sacred warrior journey, if you will. It's like a completion of a journey that we take. We have a lot of these, you know, you mentioned earlier, a lot of these ritual experiences of, I joined the military, I went to boot camp, I became a SEAL, you know, I got the trident pinned on me, the brown shirt, I did these milestones in my career, more suits, if you will, right?
Yep.
More layers of identity. And then after 20 some years, 5 years, whatever it is, it's, you know, Thank you. We appreciate it. And to no fault of anybody's at all. All right, give me your ID card, you know, see you later. And there's programming there to help with some of that technical knowledge and transition, but there isn't really a space to acknowledge more of the spiritual quest, right? That how do I return home? And by home, I mean society and civilization after taking, and I'm going to get a metaphor going here, after taking the light that I have inside of me, going to the darkness and maintaining that light, even though it was really fucking hard. And even at some points, believing I have no light left within me. How do I take that back home and still believe that I have light to share with the world?
Amen. Right.
That is what we know intrinsically, but we struggle with identifying. And we also struggle, frankly, with communicating it because it sounds like, oh shit, you know, you just went off the deep end, but it's true. And so that's what the station did for me, is giving us the opportunity to acknowledge that, yeah, man, like that innocent light that we have at childbirth, like that's still within you. All right. Let's make sure that we have the means to acknowledge that and to be good with it and to come home and share that with others. Right. And a lot of times it's about the people that didn't come back. And there's a lot of people struggling mightily with how do we reckon with that, the guys that aren't here. And, you know, sometimes I think about those guys and it's, what would they say to us? They'd be like, bro, get off your fucking ass and do something. You know what I mean? There would be no, you're right, you should sulk, you know. It's,
oh my God.
If you think about those guys, right, and we know them, yeah. And what they would say is like, man, go live. Like, go live. Like, don't be scared. Take that leap. Like, the best way to honor them is to live as fully as we can. And that takes, you know, for some of us, patience and courage and motivation and, you know, whatever else. We're all different, right? There's no one lump of a veteran. Everybody has their story. But that, the station helped me immensely with my story. So I really value what it does, because what it does is facilitates your own search, right? It doesn't give you a manual. It kind of gives you some tools, the environment and the camaraderie and the fellowship to take time to work on yourself, which is critical, because a lot of times we don't have that, right? Like me, I retired a month later, I had a job. And then I'm wondering why a year later, I'm like, fuck, this is miserable. Like, what am I doing? You know, and it has, I work with great people, and it's not about the outside. It's about the inside.
Amen to that.
So.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, you know, the metaphor of the light is probably the oldest metaphor that we can have in really in any form of our kind of societal evolution, right? I mean, it's the oldest story, right? Dates back to, you know, thousands of years ago when there was darkness and then there was light. I mean, you know, and if you want a good exposure to it, if you're a listener, you want to understand the magnitude of these long-term metaphors that have been built into our evolutionary process in terms of the consciousness of the human experience. Jordan Peterson does a brilliant a lecture series on the book of Genesis, right? The first few lines of Genesis, and you know, the idea that God can, out of the darkness, out of the chaos, can create light, right? And then that light continues on into, you know, the creation of us, and then the creation of our consciousness, and then along the way we start wanting to extinguish that light. We want to stomp that shit out, right? And we get sucked down these pathways where we imagine that on the other side of these really almost, what's the right word for it, on the other side of the illusion, right? Because so much of what we choose to, when we're choosing to induce pain, right, when we're seeking out something that is supposed to brighten the light in us, and then it ultimately just, you know, it almost quashes that shit out. You're like, wait a minute, this, the opposite is happening to me. Why is this? And then, you know, I think, and what we were saying, like before we hopped on in the military, it's every day you've got a schedule, you know exactly what you need to do. There's a hierarchy, there's a chain of command, there's a measurement of success that's everybody accepts, you know, and then you transition over to this more metamorphosis of the civilian experience, right? Because, you know, one minute you think you got a good idea of the way things work, and then, you know, 2 seconds later, it's completely changed. And you're like, wait, who the fuck just changed the rules on me? Wait a minute. How did that just happen? I was just getting used to this regiment and this thing. And I was down on the side of the fire going, whoo, whoo, and I had a little sparkle and I'm looking good and I'm fired up. But then all of a sudden, you know, the winds change, the smoke goes in my face, and I can't blow on the fire anymore and bring that light back. And I know that was a long continuation of that metaphor, but it really is, the light is being able to, you know, subdue the darkness. And that's what I believe organizations like the Station Foundation realize, that it's much deeper within all of us. And I think you realize that too as well, in not only, you know, going, recognizing you needed to bring that light back out, and then also, you know, going on these 100-mile runs, right? Because if you can't keep the light burning on those, you're going to live in the dark, so to speak. Yeah. Let me ask. So as now, I mean, obviously you're far from knowing what you're supposed to do. I joked in the beginning of this that you helped me find my purpose, but you know, it freaking took me, I mean, probably went from 2003 to 2014 to believe, okay, I can actually do this, right? that my light, my internal light is strong enough to work through, you know, the operator syndrome stuff, to work through, you know, the alcohol challenges, a divorce, you know, all these compounding things that seem to, no matter how far you run, yeah, you can't outrun this shit.
No, it's in your backpack.
It's in your ruck. And yeah. I'll never forget this beautiful human being that's really made a huge impact on my life, this woman, Maggie, whose son I've been working with since he was 12. He's in the teams, he's at a high level, you know, he's doing real well, you know, through that is, you know, recognize, I'll never forget, you know, I'd been out for, you know, a decade plus, but I just carried the weight still. And she says, you know, cause then she understood the euphemisms, you know, her son had gone through BUDS and SQT. She goes, you know, you got to drop your rucksack. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what do you mean drop my what do you mean? I have to wear this every day for the rest of my life. What do you mean? That's part of it. I never get to drop my ruck. It's not part of the deal. And she's like, why? Mm-hmm. And I remember that question. Why can't you drop the ruck? And that being one of those pivotal moments of where all of a sudden the fire in my, you know, my belly came back. The fire in my gut was like, holy cow, I don't have to carry the ruck. In fact, I can ditch this whole fucking thing and I can go get another ruck and fill it with a whole different set of purpose.
Yeah.
How are you, what is the new ruck you want to carry? And what do you think you want to put in that sucker?
Great question. You know, meaning and purpose is probably the oldest questions humans have asked themselves since they looked up at the stars, right? I think from my vantage point, there's a lot of now buzz on find your purpose, find your purpose, find your purpose. I actually find that to be a little limiting and a little, like I would say nauseating, because to put so much damn pressure on yourself to find the one single purpose in this world that you are destined by some creator to achieve and fulfill and bring you happiness, that's actually kind of fucked up, right? Because yes. My purpose when I was 18 is quite different from my purpose when I'm 40 to 25, right? So I think that what, for me, what I'm choosing to do is to find things that I find bring meaning. And I can have 10 or 20 things that bring meaning to my life, and that when I put my energy towards them, it's returned in a meaningful way. So I find meaning in being a father and a husband. You know, I find meaning in mowing the lawn. You know what I mean? So you can ascribe, and this is another thing, an important thing that Viktor Frankl, you know, he teaches, is you can choose, and going back to the buds thing, you choose what you find meaningful. Like you can say, I'm going to make this a meaningful thing in my life because X, Y, Z, whatever reasons you have. And then you can do that thing. And right, as a man who has a why to live for can bear almost anyhow, right? So Amen. Then when you have meaning attached to that thing, the other things like tired feet, it's hot outside, they just bounce off of you because what you're doing is meaningful. Running this 100-miler for my own good and so I can have a belt buckle at the end, like I'll do it. But now running for the Station Foundation to provide an opportunity for folks to experience what I've experienced and to share, you know, the value that that program brings. Now I'm really gonna do the race at a higher level, at a higher spiritual level. Do you know what I mean? Now it's not about me. It's about others. I don't know where I went with that. I apologize. But
no, because that's the essence of
it.
That's why we exist, is to serve others.
So exactly, right? So find meaning in those other things. And it takes a lot of pressure off, right? When you're like, fuck, what's that one thing on earth I'm here to do? And it's like, hey, do a lot of things and bring value to other folks or other things, and then get meaning from that. And it kind of takes it away. And if you have certain goals that maybe in this year you want to do X, Y, or Z that you find super meaningful, impactful, go do it. And then make peace with it, acknowledge it, be grateful for it, and then like let it go and then find something else. You know what happens if you think you found your one purpose and then you wake up one day and you're like, shit, this isn't really fulfilling. Like you don't want to carry that weight for the rest of your life because no, this is my purpose, right? Like have the freedom to find meaning in multiple things. And that's what I'm trying to choose to do, because I banged my head on the like find your why, find your purpose thing. And it's like, wait a minute, I can have quite a few and be okay with that.
God bless you for saying that, man. You know, I think you're right with all of these experts that are out there, right? And what they're suggesting in terms of the the derivative of one singular focus. And I agree in terms of it helps you in a spectrum of measurement, right? That's good, right? Within this space, it's good. You can find a lot about yourself, but the real meaning of who am I and why am I here, man, that's a much longer road. And I always think of it as, you know, the real truth seekers of the world are the people that never stop seeking. And if you're seeking, if you're on that, road less traveled, and all of a sudden you're like, well, that's a really beautiful pasture over there, man. I'm going to just go walk out in that and check it out and see where it takes me. And you can always come back to that, you know, that worn path in the woods of, mm-hmm. You know, where, all right, I'm back on this, which I know, and Now you go through another around another bend. You're like, wow, I'd love to climb up to that outlook up there and just view the world from that. And you do it and you come back and get back on. And I love the way you describe that. I too believe that purpose is an evolutionary thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when I, you know, teach my class on living with purpose, you know, it is about that, you know, that perpetual journey. And it's funny, I use Viktor Frankl, and we've had that discussion before. And actually I finished that speech with a story about Viktor Frankl and his finding meaning just in serving love. Right. And it's so trippy that we're having this discussion, and this is where it's gone. Cause you know, I read a Bible verse every morning and when I get up, and man, today's Bible verse was, you know, the ultimate purpose, which is to love others as you love yourself, right? That golden rule. And in and of that alone, you can find purpose in life, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Every day I wake up, I'm going to love my children, you know, as much or more than I love myself. I'm going to love my spouse. I'm going to love my friends. I'm going to actually show empathy for this person that just crossed my path and looks like they need a little bit of love. They need a little bit of whatever servitude or whatever you want to, you know, conjure up in that moment as a component of your existing meaning, that being in the moment. And I think you just hit it brilliantly in that capacity. Let me one final question. Obviously, coming through the last year has been immensely difficult for so many people. Mm-hmm. The mental health data that's coming out now is like nothing I've ever seen since I've been paying attention, which I really started looking at it back in 2006 when I first was doing the research for the original kids book I wrote for Frog Logic and how to work with kids and all that. And the Wall Street Journal did an article last month and had real data in there about the effects on children 4 to 10 and then 10 to 15. And it's staggering. It's staggering, right? It's and especially for young girls, it's just mm-hmm. off the charts.
Yeah,
and
I saw that. It's nuts.
And it's scary to me that's what the journey is for our children right now. But also it's these people that have had to work from home. They've lost their jobs or, you know, the isolation and the fear mongering that's been thrust down our throats and getting to reshape the way we calibrate the brilliance of our freedoms, right? And what that freedom allows us to explore, you know, it's all been dampened. It's been suppressed. It's been contained. It's been, you know, it's been masked, if you will. The people who are going to really dig into this and really are listening to your words intently, and they want to start their own journey, what would you suggest to them? What would you suggest to those people right now to go, what is their 100-mile race? What is the catalyst to push them into searching for this next evolution of their purpose?
Gosh.
Sorry about that one, bud.
No, yeah. Oh man. What a great question. And you know, I'm a journeyer myself. So I know where I am, and that's about it. And sometimes I have flashes of where I want to go and what's consistently, you know, my values. So I feel unworthy to give some monumental advice like that, but I'll still do so because, you know, maybe it's someone's listening and they're like, oh shit, you know what? Either A, that resonates and I'll go with that, or that's full of shit. This is what I believe, and it reaffirms what they believe and they go with that. So even better, right? I think there's a couple of things that flash to my mind. One is there's rarely a substitute for action. And a lot of times, you know, we spend times thinking about things. What if, how could this, you know, affect me? I don't know. I'm not sure. You will learn so much if you just take a step. and you'll be in a new place. Literally, even if it's a small step, like take something, do something, take that. It doesn't have to be a leap of faith. I'm quitting my job. My three kids are going to be screwed. I'm just going to find myself. Like, it doesn't have to be that, but just take one step and see where that takes you around the bend and what you see, you know. And the next thing I would say that goes in line with that, and I shared with a friend of mine, is trust and go. Right. I wrote TAG on my climbing shoes because I would, in San Diego, would climb a lot all the time. And I would find myself on these routes that were at nearly my limit. And sometimes I would get stuck going from one move to the next. And as you all know, the longer you stay in that halfway between space, all you're going to do is wait till your muscles start quivering and your leg starts shaking, right? And you're going to fall. But when you're in that space, just trust and go. You know, reach for that next hold. Just trust in yourself and go for it. You're either going to make that hold, you're either going to discover that there was something else you didn't know existed, or you're going to fall. And if you fall, like, have faith that you've transcended your limits at that time. Even if you fell, you still went further than where you were before. Get back up and try again. So I think be action oriented, take a small step, and then have faith in yourself and just trust and go. And, you know, if it's not faith in yourself, have faith in the greater human experience that there's, sometimes I do that. Sometimes I don't even know about myself. Like, I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to trust the fact that there's some amazing badass people in this world who've done things. I mean, all you got to do is look at a woman who's had a kid, right? Like, that's Amen. All you need to know about perseverance, endurance, pain, and putting someone higher than yourself. Like, every woman that's done childbirth innately does that. And, you know, I have to run 100 miles to get a glimpse of that. So there, you know, that indomitable human spirit exists within us. Even if you don't believe it, it's there. So just take a step and just go and learn. And even if it's the wrong path, at least you know that, and you can cross one off your list and try somewhere else.
Amen, brother. Geez, you know, it's, I've been so blessed in this life, right? I've met people around the world. I know a truckload of team guys. I know a truckload of people from when I worked at the agency. God, I don't even know how many people I've met as a speaker, mm-hmm. Through the shows I've been a part of, man, just a ton. And Kevin, you're by far one of my favorite people on this planet. And every chance I get to learn from you and listen to you has always been a blessing and has made me a better human being. And I'm so honored and privileged to finally get to share that with my listeners. So thank you so much, my brother.
Dude, thank you. This has been inspiring for me to be a part and to share what we believe is possible within all of us. So thank you for the opportunity, man. Thanks for the great conversation. Like, I'm ready to go. You know what I mean? So that's why, right? It's like motivational speaker, man. Like, you bring that energy in others. And man, I appreciate everything. And I love you. You're a brother. You've been there in the darkest of times and in the brightest of times for me. So I appreciate it.
Good. I'll see you down in the Keys, bud.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Did I tell you? Yep. I know you're shaking your head. I know you're out there. I can feel you wherever you are and wherever I am in the world right now. You are shaking your head going, my God, Rutt has done it again. Rutt has bring on somebody that is going to tell a story that is going to get inside my soul and inspire me that I need to go seek the truth. that there is so much more to this life than I could have ever even begun to comprehend. Or perhaps I can comprehend it. You just haven't even tried to start comprehending it yet. And if you ask yourself, why don't you want to know what you're made of? Why don't you want to know what you're capable of? Why don't you want to understand your limitations? Why don't you want to help others who need help? Why don't you want to help yourself? Man, Kevin's insight is so profound. And the guy has been through so much hardship, man. But yet he continually comes back in with this monumental Magellan-like necessity to explore the totality of his existence, to really understand his human condition and how it affects him and his life and his wife and his children, and how he's going to bestow this wisdom onto those beautiful little creatures, those beautiful little children. And trust me, this family, they are not only beautiful the way they look, but they are beautiful in heart. These are good human beings. It just, I listen to the way he speaks and I'm blown away by his wisdom, as I always have been, even when we were young men in the teams. He has a perspective that, if I'm willing to bet, if you were to just stop for a moment and allow some of it to permeate into your genuine sense of motivation or your introspection, man, it would change your life. Just by the, how about just doing a very simple thing like signing up for a half ultra marathon, sign up for a 50 miler, much less a 100 miler. Sign up for a regular marathon and raise money for your favorite charity, whatever it was. Hell, sign up for a marathon and raise money for the Station Foundation to help vets and their children and Gold Star children. Don't just listen to podcasts and put it, let it move you. Let it get you out of bed. Let it get you out of your seat. Let it inspire you to become what you ultimately want to become. Even if you don't even know what that is, the movement forward to endeavor, to persevere, to place one foot in front of the other, as Kevin would say. It's worth it, man. I promise you, it's worth it. It's hard. It's not easy seeking the truth. There's many challenging. Suffering doesn't go away. In fact, it many times expands for a bit until you can kind of shape some type of interpretation, which leads to some type of manifestation of a particular type of perception that can make your life make sense. And when you begin to have your life make sense, you get one step closer to understanding the truth of who you actually are, the truth of what type of life you actually want to live. But that doesn't happen easily, my friends. That does not happen overnight. It does not happen as you walk out your front door. You must keep walking. You must keep hiking. You must keep running. You must keep searching far and wide in order to discover that which will illuminate the truth to you. Now, I know what a lot of people want to say is that I live my own truth every day. Yes, you might think you do, but I'm also willing to bet if we were to put you in around some really genuine truth seekers and we were to have a little debate about what you thought the truth is versus what you think, everybody else knows the truth is who's been on this epic journey, there might be some discrepancies there because you've formulated your truth by sitting on your butt for years and years and years, by not taking the risk, by not running 100 miles in the heat. And I know a lot of people out there would follow that sentence up with, listen, you don't have to run 100 miles in order to figure things out. And I say, bullshit. Maybe you do need a 100-mile race to wake up. Hell, maybe you need more than that. Hell, maybe you need to backpack across Mongolia to figure this out. Maybe you need to climb Mount Everest. Maybe you need to go surf 100-foot weight in Nazarene, Portugal. Maybe you need to start doing jiu-jitsu every day. Maybe you need to just go to a boxing ring and get your ass whooped every 6 months in order to instill that humility, which Kevin spoke about, the humility of knowing what you don't know and accepting that as a precipice to go out and try and find out what you don't know through living life, through experiencing pain. By choice. I think that's in you. In fact, I know it's in you. I know it's in all of us, just like Kevin believes it. I believe it's true, with the rare exception of a psychopath or some sociopaths. And I think ultimately we each have this genuine desire to understand who we are as it relates to the world around us. In order to gain that motivation we need to endure the perpetual nature of suffering that is commingled with the human condition itself. It's within it. It's part of it. It's part of its structure. But so too is the structure of your possible potential. That's real too. Every bit as real as suffering. So it's my prayer, it's my hope that you listened to Kevin, that you heard Kevin. I really hope you did. Again, I want to thank my partner, My Medical Images. Listen, the days of carrying CDs around are over. The days now of having the most important images other than your photos, your family photos, in the palm of your house hand is now. Just go over to mymedicalimages.com, read what they are, or essentially the Instagram for Medical Images, all HIPAA protected. Everything we do is HIPAA protected. We're a qualified FDA device. Listen, we are on the fast track of becoming one of the most significant medical tech companies evolving right now, which are exploding around the country. It's because our founder and our board have built a platform that is, bar none, one of the best I have ever seen. So please, do your family and yourself a favor. Head over to My Medical Images right now. Use promo code FROGLOGIC when you sign up, and you'll get a one-year free subscription. Check it out. Try it, especially if you have ongoing medical concerns or issues, whether it's cancer or orthopedic challenges or maybe head injuries, TBI. You can put all of your medical images, every type, MRIs, mammograms, x-rays, CAT scans, x-rays in your teeth, you name it, all of your medical images stored in one location that can be easily shared, managed. You can get second calls around our network of doctors on our site. I'm telling you, this is the platform for you and your family. Check us out at mymedicalimages.com. All right. Thank you. Thank you to all the listeners. Again, you guys are keeping Frog Logic alive. I know we've been on a little bit of life support, but that's all right. We're moving through some transitions, and we're really trying to put together a new plan moving forward. Things have been dragging a little bit because of the pandemic, but we are, promise you, focused on rebuilding and getting the message back out there in a more significant way here within the next 2 to 6 months. I know I keep saying that, but listen, things are a little tough, a little challenging right now with events still being shut down, but we're focused on, we've got a plan in place and we're moving forward. So I appreciate your support. If you head on over to teamfroglogic.com, if you're looking for a motivational speaker, I can do online presentations. I will also travel anywhere, any place. There, I am not worried about any of the stuff. So please, if your company is looking for a little boost or pep talk, don't be hesitant to reach out. We also have the Frog Logic Institute. We're going to get that started up again probably next month, again with a new course on self-confidence. We're also developing an operator syndrome course, me and Dr. Chris Free. And then also, I'm on LinkedIn if you want to follow me there. And then obviously you can support the podcast. And you can sign up for the newsletter on the website as well too at teamfroglogic.com. All right. Thank you. Thank you to God. Thank you for everything, Lord. And thank you to Kevin. Thank you for your friendship, your inspiration, your motivation. Thank you for doing all that you're doing. I just can't thank you enough for everything. Man, it's just such a privilege to have you on my show. I really mean that. Your wisdom is profound, to say the least. I hope everybody understands that. I hope you understand the profound nature of a man like Kevin Stark and what it can do if you listen to him. So please go support Kevin. If you want to just tech support, he's raising money for the 100-mile Key West to Key Largo run next week, at the end of next week. So you got about a week to support him. Please get out there and do that. He'll take anything you can get. If you want to text the number 50155 and then text STARK15, that's STARK 15, STARK15, text that to 50155. Or you can go over to the donation page, which is secure.qgive.com/event/THSTAFOU, and support Kevin giving a donation there. Or go directly to thestationfoundation.org, thestationfoundation.org. And this is an incredible program helping vets and their families, as well as Gold Star children. And understanding the importance of their development and health, mental health as well, too. So the Station Foundation, thank you to you all who are doing such incredible work. Just God bless you guys. I can't thank you enough. I want to thank Jonna for just powering through this as well as getting your master's. I'm so proud of you. It's so incredible to watch you. You inspire me over and over. You are the light of my life. You are the meaning behind my meaning. I love you so much. Thank you, my children. Thank you. I know it's difficult, but you're all doing great. Thank you for dealing with me, your dad. Also, my parents. I want to thank our family and friends, all those who continue to stay in touch with me, who reach out and ask me. I'm so privileged with all of you all being in my life. I love you very, very much. And lastly, I want to thank Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Man, it was funny on church on Sunday when I was teaching the girls, I read the Sermon on the Mount section in Matthew. And, you know, what my favorite part is just how he spells out the way to live for us. And it's to get out there and it's to search for that truth, to be the truth, which is the way, which is the word of Christ. That is the truth. If you follow that truth, you will at a point have humongous meaning in your life. I promise you. It happened to me. It's happened to others. I know it's a powerful pathway, the pathway of righteousness, the pathway to salvation, the way, the truth. God bless you all. Love you.